Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's devout Catholic Mark Wahlberg. It's my pleasure to tell you that Hey Fam is proudly brought to you by the good folks at the Hallow app. Got a favorite psalm or want to say a prayer for the family of the Vietnamese veteran you violently blinded? Then the Hallow app is for you. For just $77 American a month, you can get connected with fellow-minded blessed folk and practice what you preach online. Who knows, maybe I'll see you on there. Stay prayed up.
Hey, America, this is your president, Sleepy Joe Biden, just letting you know that I'm taking it back to 2003 in the White House tonight. That's right, me and Hunter are playing seminal record Elefunk by the Black Eyed Peas loud, proud, and in full, and you better believe that my girl Fergie is saying the R word 50 times on track 3, just as our founding fathers wanted her to. God bless this goddamn beautiful country.
Bruh. Angus has watched how many of the Fast and the Furious movies in the last
five days? Nine.
All nine
in 4.5 days.
You didn't hit the Hobbs and Shaw.
I mean, it's, as we know, too much behind the scenes drama has told me that that's essentially not canon.
I don't count it.
No, I
it's
mean,
a different Hobbs.
It's like when I'm doing the Skywalker trilogy, all the Skywalker
movies.
That's
the multiverse of madness.
I finish at 8 and don't watch Rogue One or Solo. You know?
Right.
When you mainline Star Wars, don't watch the side ones or the ninth one.
That's true. Mm. In the Fast Furious movies, don't watch the eighth one. That one sucks. But
I mean, you got to watch it because
you're right. It doesn't suck anywhere near as bad as in episode 9 did. But I was saying, like, the glow up from 8 to 9 in the Fast and Furious movies is crazy.
It's like a misstep between 7 and 9, and it's 8. And also you need 8 because we're introduced, they do a Spectre, the Bond movie where he reveals, I've been in charge of everything, that Cypher was the person in charge
of
everything. Because, you know, we get a Nick Fury in the form of Mr. Nobody, but we finally get a Thanos in the form of Charlize Theron.
So you're celebrating Mother's Day this weekend by watching the new Fast movie, Fast 10.
Yes, without my mother.
Fast, you can say Fast 10 or Fast X?
Fast 10. It's Roman, baby. Yep. Roman Pierce. It's a Roman numeral. It's like when everyone called it the iPhone X. It's so not called that.
It's like your favorite Marvel comic is the 10 Man.
Yeah, a 10 Man.
Professor 10.
Professor 10, great character.
10 Factor.
10 Factor is my favorite reality show. Yeah. When I go to the doctors, I get 10 rays. Get my 10 ray on. Other things to start with.
Your favorite instrument is a 10 wireline.
Yeah, of course it always has been. Yeah, yeah.
What else starts with X?
X. No, you said X Factor. X. It's weird that X just is X. Like, it doesn't really have at least in English words, it doesn't have like a sh or a k, like z, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
it is z.
The X.
Xylophone.
What the fuck? Just blew my mind. Thought that was spelled with a Z.
Really?
There's one in there, isn't it? No, there isn't.
What did you say? There was what?
There's no Z in there, is there?
No, it doesn't.
Got to be
X,
one of the
X, Z, Y.
It's going to be one of the
That would be crazy.
It's going to be one of the dumbest looking words ever.
It's a cool word.
Dumbest looking, though. It's fun to say. One of those words I'm filing under fun to say, hard to spell.
Now I'm like,
is there an X?
I'm like second guessing myself.
No, you're right, because it always comes up in it. It's the only thing they put in
alphabets.
Kids' books when they have like, it's either X-ray or xylophone.
Yeah, xylophone's also X.
XY.
God damn. Second guessing myself.
Zuh. It sounds like Zer, though.
Yeah.
What about That's like, what I mean. It's either X, as if you say like EX.
Zannies.
So it's bizarre. And these are all things in my head that I think start with a Z.
Yeah.
Fuck. English is like full on, like not
crazy.
Right. It's crazy, bro. It's it's a crazy language. Yeah, I am spending Mother's Day taking my mother out fast and furiously.
Mm-hmm.
Love her to death. But then, you know, duty calls, family calls. The only holiday holier than Mother's Day is
I'm upset that I'm not doing the same thing. But I got three mothers that I need to make time for.
Yeah. bruh. That's
so yeah, brutal.
You can see I'm wearing the Toretto chain.
Yep. I've how did you find that on eBay? Like, did you
Amazon?
Amazon? Did you write Toretto chain?
Yeah,
that's came great. Up,
ordered it. This is what, because I've been very sick this week. I've had like a form of influenza. The doctor said very.
How many forms of influenza do you think you've had? In your
all
life?
Of them. I have. Yeah. I've had them all, and I kind of forget ordering it. But I
you've
think
had
it was
them
in
all
a,
from A to 10.
To Zay, yeah, but while watching the movies, I must have ordered it because it came and I kind of forgot. I was like, what the hell is this? A guy knocking at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, and it was my Toretto chain.
I mean, yeah, you can, if you're like the scenario that you pitched last week where I die and you look after my kids happens, mm-hmm. you definitely go pick them up from their Catholic school wearing that. You'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
Get an instant in with the principal.
The priest will let me suck them off.
The
rather than the other way around.
I'm wearing to the hoodie I'm wearing right now, the Evangelion.
Oh
one.
Yeah, they must think you're full on evangelist.
Yeah, I accidentally picked the kids up from school and went into school wearing.
They love
this
that shit though,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like showing the crucifix, but there's crucifixion.
Like,
but
it's not Jesus on that cross.
Yeah, but it could be. No one knows what Jesus looked like.
That's true. That's
I think he looked like Jamie Foxx. I hope he's okay. He could
what,
be dead by the time
happened
this
to him.
He's been hospitalized for like 3 weeks, and his family are apparently like. Ready to consider the worst.
Damn, that sucks.
It was like a brain thing. Yeah.
Man.
He's like one of the only guys who's like gotten through life just everyone loving him. You know what I mean? He hasn't had like an event where everyone's like, oh, he was a bit of a dickhead. Or, oh, he was a like addict for 10 years but came clean. Like he hasn't had the Robert Downey story. He's just always been like a cool dude.
Extravaganza. That's a good song by him. We had one too many
I actually call it 10 Travaganza. Yeah, a guy that didn't know if he was like funny or a singer or an actor for a while.
Just do it all.
He did it all, yeah. That made very famous for his turn in Ray, the Ray Charles biopic.
Angus is just summarizing his Wikipedia page now.
No, I'm not summarizing, I'm freestyling this.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Gold Digger, mm-hmm. In which he emulates Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Slow Jams, great song.
Damn. Yeah.
Miami Vice.
Maybe pulls through.
And Collateral, one of the like. To like Michael Mann, all haters, but incredible run there from Collateral to that, where he has Jamie Foxx showing his range incredibly from playing like a meek cab driver in Collateral, kind of playing a cooler version of his shittier electro.
I was gonna say he's played two very different electros.
Yeah, one who's cool and one who's cooler. And then in Miami Vice as Tubbs, just playing like a cool as hell dude.
Mm.
I wish him the best.
That sucks.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad he was never in the Fast movies. I think
he would have loved it.
Vin couldn't. I don't think Vin would understand him because he's kind of what Vin thinks Vin is.
You think?
Like a man black. Of all trades. Black, a successful actor, Oscar nominee.
Actually, Vin definitely singer. Thinks he's Hispanic.
Depends who you're asking because yeah, I'm watching true. Fast 9 and they have three different Toretto's in it. Like, because it's. You see scenes that's with right. him as an 8-year-old, but scenes with him as a 19-year-old. If you're doing 23andMe with those two guys and Vin involved, ain't nobody getting the same lineage. The kid who's 8 is straight up black. And the kid who's like 18 is Hispanic. And then there's Vin who's... In this movie just looks like... He kind of looks like the... Shit, what were those gold people in Guardians of the Galaxy?
The gold people, I can't remember.
He looks like that. Yeah. Like, that's how he kind of looks in the later Fast movies.
The gold members.
The gold members. The Sovereign.
Sovereign.
He's looking very Sovereign core. I was like, damn, is my OLED TV not calibrated correctly? No, it turns out Vin Diesel in 4K will do that for you.
I can't wait to see what he looks like in Fast 10.
Dude, in the trailer, I've only watched each trailer once. I've said to you, I've gone like fully anti-trailer recently. But he looks like painted on in some scenes. Like he doesn't look real.
Well, I mean, lately we've been, you don't need to watch trailers to hear bad songs. You can just hear the bad songs in the movies.
Well, yeah, this is
Mario,
true.
Mario, Guardians.
I love the Beastie Boys, but it's actually easy for me to go and watch any of the, any studio film these days to hear my favorite track, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, because chances are it's been licensed.
You know what song would have worked?
Talk about a license to ill.
Yeah, I was thinking like, if you're going to put any Beastie Boys song in that sequence,
it's galactic.
Sabotage would have done way better.
Sabotage, but you know what? Star Trek has the digs
See,
on
I've
that.
I've never seen that movie, so I wouldn't have noticed.
Star Trek 1, cool. 2, and 3, directed by Justin Lin of Fast Fame. They Sabotage is like a plot point in them.
Really?
It's like a vintage song that Captain Kirk listens to, but it becomes like this. It's like, it's a...
I've seen one of them and I don't remember Sabotage from being in it.
Sure, so. It's in all of them.
Cool.
Really good at the first one.
So is that trilogy, like, is only the first one good or...
No, they're all like, everyone hates the second one for some reason.
I think
reason.
I saw that was the one I saw and I thought
I think
fine.
If I was a Star Trek fan, I'd hate the second one too because it kind of plays with people were pissed off. It basically retells Wrath of Khan, which is like the beloved second film, yeah. I think, of the original series. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a bit later. But it plays with the conventions of that. And I think in the months leading up to it, JJ and everyone involved was like, no, Benedict Cumberbatch is not playing Khan. And then 2 minutes into it, he's like, I am Khan. And I think a lot of people felt betrayed, which is kind of dumb. Like, just let him cook, I find, you know?
Yeah. Enough Khan. Let's talk about Zahn. Steve Zahn.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that new Righteous Gemstones Brett, trailer?
While you may be gravitating towards Steve Zahn.
No, Steve Dorff, bro.
No, man, I'm going straight to Shea Whigham.
Yeah.
Just because he is incredible in the Fast movies. He is like...
Of course.
He is like the offsider
to... The best
to,
suit.
Yeah, he's the only guy in the FBI you want to...
Well, he's the guy that always gets punched.
Yeah, and then you see him in the ninth one. He's got a fully broken nose from all the times Brian slammed him into a wall. He's in like three or four of them.
Yeah.
He's in more of them than like the Tokyo Drift car.
He has like an insane rap sheet. He might secretly be in the most good movies of all time.
Yeah, hard agree. He is so good in Werner Herzog's Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. He plays like the son of the head cop and he hates Nick Cage. But he has this amazing scene where like Nick yells at him. He's like, get out of here. Because he's sleeping with like Nick's girlfriend who's a sex worker. And he just says, oh yeah, like 10 times. And I'm not doing it. He just goes like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. It's so absurd. And it's just, man, only he pulls it off. He is so good.
Yeah, just like, just the extent of what he's in. Oh, dude, he's going to be in the next two Mission Impossibles. Missions Impossible.
Fuck, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's...
Oh my God. Wait, let's get an age. Is he 50s?
Oh, I'm going to guess 62.
I guess I'm 58.
Fuck, he's way younger.
49?
He was born in 1969.
Oh, okay. So what is
it's closer to you. So what is it? I can't do that with my...
Well, scroll down further. It tells you his actual age.
No, I'm going to get my calculator out.
You're such a loser.
What a loser I am.
Bro, you just scroll down.
He's 54.
What did I say? 58.
He's age 54. You're right. It says on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, I told you that information.
But you know why I thought that? Because he's wearing old man prosthetics.
Yeah, he's wearing makeup.
I got fucking swindled.
You did. He acted.
Hollywood got me again.
He acted.
So yeah, Righteous Gemstones.
He looks like
Stephen
Dorff in True Detective.
Dude. Oh, yeah, at the end when there was an old man. I'm so excited.
When he's thinking it.
Stephen Dorff is like.
I bet he's thinking it in this.
Oh, I don't think he even needs to just think it. I reckon
he's saying it.
He might say it.
He's screaming it. I watched him recently in... I've been doing the Bruce Willis Last Hurrah, like 13 movies he did last year.
Oh, shit.
Because, yeah, just you know, at the time everyone was like, damn, he's so bad. Why is he doing these? And now it's like, oh, he did these movies to
pay for
financially stuff. Secure his family or whatever. Because what do they call it? It's like Gray something or... there's like a name for these types of movies where they like a production company never heard of, a director you've never heard of will create a movie starring
Steven Seagal
or a Bruce Willis, yeah. And then like four Z-grade actors, the name actor will do one day of work and a lot of body double stuff from behind and get paid usually half the budget for the movie.
Crazy.
So if it's like a $8 million movie, that'll just get a straight up $4 million fee. You do like 10 of those that year. You know what I mean? That's why they kind of do it. It's shit. I've got to think about the name of the movie, what the genre is.
I'd rather be in one of those than whatever the Russo brothers are doing now.
Oh, they're just like, they are AI.
Yeah.
That's why they're trying to make people so into the concept of AI movies.
Fuck. Did you see the trailer for the new, Tom Holland movie?
Yeah, someone said it looked like me.
It legit looks like you. Look at him.
It actually does, doesn't it?
It's called The Crowded Room, and it's Tom Holland in a fucking Angus wig.
He doubled me for a while.
I don't know what the movie's about. Of course, it's an Apple TV Plus joint.
Of course it is. Who's making it?
I'll look it up.
It's not the Russos.
No, but they what's the one they did with him?
Like Cherry or something?
Cherry Boy. It's a TV series. I don't give a fuck about this.
Bruh.
Apple TV Plus is like low key makes the most dog shit programs.
Oh man, I couldn't even. Every time my TV comes on, I'm like, what? Oh, Jerry Action, I think they're calling them.
Okay, Jerry Action.
No, that's something else. Oh, Geezer Teaser. They're called
Geezer Teaser. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they're called Geezer Teasers.
Right, because you got to tease. That's the word I was looking for.
Geezer Teaser is a pejorative term used to describe films. Action films released direct to video and distributed via video on demand for older, well-known male actors. Billed in lead or co-lead and prominently teased in promotional material, but appear sporadically in the film itself. So I was doing, before I even knew what that was, I watched like all of the Seagal ones, the John Travolta. Like, it's this weird kind of purgatory a lot of older actors are entering, like anyone who's not like Tom Cruise or like Robert Redford or just kind of esteemed older actors that you see in things still, a lot of them have just gravitated towards this.
Yeah, crazy.
Also, there are actors that I think I grew up thinking that they were like A-tier actors, but I was actually viewing it through a lens where Tarantino recontextualized them as A-tier actors. Because I thought John Travolta was always like a huge hot actor.
But that was his comeback.
Yeah, and yeah. I didn't know that at the time because I was like 8. But now when I look back, you're like, oh, he kind of had like a nothing for the 80s, like substantial.
Yeah, totally. And he rode for a while.
Yeah, he did off of Pulp Fiction. Get Shorty.
Get Shorty. He did Michael.
Michael. He's an angel, but he's a bit of a devil. Man, I saw that movie with my dad and I remember leaving the cinema going like, I think that might be my favorite movie. I was thinking about it the other day. I guarantee you right now, it's in my queue. I think I was like, man, look, I've been adding some wild movies lately.
Is the sickness taking effect?
I swear. Dave. That's my. Do you remember Dave?
The one where he becomes the president?
Yeah. I would do a double billing of that.
Kevin Kline, Sigourney Weaver.
I would do a double billing.
I bet today Ivan Reitman joined. It's bound to be pretty fun.
I'll do 90s movies where the title is a guy's name. Yep. I always got Dave and Michael mixed up.
What's the Eddie Murphy one that's named after a dude? Norbit?
Norbit. Yeah, no, that's 2001 or something, so it couldn't be part of that. I swear I got Michael in here.
Well, that's cool. You added the Winnie the Pooh movie from 2007 on there. I like
that
movie.
Yeah, anime.
No, that's not anime. That's the one that's the John Lasseter Winnie the Pooh movie.
But no, that's like the anime one. There's a 2012, there's that one.
What's that one?
Remember there's like an anime one?
Pull it up.
Chief, pulling up.
Pull up the Winnie the Pooh anime. This one is...
Oh, that's a 2011 one. Now, people say it's like the last great 2D Disney movie.
Yeah, it's killer.
That's why I added it.
It's so good. Yeah. I love it. Me and the kids watch it all the time.
Well, okay, nice flex.
But John Lasseter's fingerprints are hugging every character in that movie.
Well, no wonder why people have said it's akin to a nice, warm, yet unwanted hug. Don't worry, man, it's in there, bro. We should go through each other's cues one day, just try and get
I don't think I keep cues anymore.
I have to, just because I'm like, I'm going to watch that, then I forget.
Yeah, this is insane, though.
Is it really?
Just you've scrolled through like 200 movies and TV shows.
What do you do with your life? Aren't you adding Yellowstone? Knowing that I'm never watching
There's
that.
There's so much fucking Yellowstone.
Yeah, I've deleted that. Then
What's Harrison Ford doing in it?
He's avoiding Geezer Teasers. He's one of the only guys to be free of it.
But he doesn't like. He doesn't just want to. Like, he doesn't even want to make blockbusters.
Yet he's in Indiana Jones.
He didn't want to make Star Wars for the longest time. And like, remember that the whole press
was like,
junket.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, I can't believe him.
But I guess it was mainly because they knew they were going to kill him off.
I think
that was the narrative they painted.
He wasn't happy with how Return of the Jedi ended.
Really?
He wanted to die.
Oh.
He thought that Han was, and it's common belief and I share it too. He's like, Han's pretty useless in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
He just kind of shrugs and mugs at the camera.
Yeah.
While everyone does stuff. And he was like,
fucked an Ewok or something.
Like something, you know? Yeah. But, he wanted to die in that. He's like, George, I got to die. He wanted to die after Empire. He's like, that's a great.
What do you say? You yub this nub.
Yeah. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
but then you got a hero's death in, Force Awakens.
Did he get killed by his son?
Well, what are you going to call
it? And then his son said, thank you for letting me kill you. So now I can become
a bad guy.
The most evil guy I could possibly
that's
be.
That's like, that's a hero's death.
Is it?
Well, he let like, by doing that, he also allowed like Finn and Rey and everyone to escape.
Yeah.
He did the Ben in New Hope, you know, the stall the bad guy. Get the young kids out of there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy stuff. But yeah, Harrison is not a fan though. He just kind of rocks up. And
huge fan
shit.
Of episode 9 though.
Big fan.
Huge fan.
Well,
he's
no,
in that, right?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. He's the best thing about it. He has like two lines, and they're the same lines from Seven.
He goes, how about you yub this knob?
He goes, how about you yub my knob? You want to know why they call him Chewy?
Fuck. You know what? Let's get straight into Star Wars talk. I've Damn. Watched more Star Wars related shit this week than I ever have in my life.
You've done me, but I've done a regular weekend,
I guess, is life.
Yeah, and I both of us couldn't wield that power of both watching it, so I had to watch the fast movies instead.
So I think I watched 7 hours of Star Wars media.
Damn.
Damn. I mean, you
that's
also
more than J.J. Abrams watched when before doing 9. All he had to do was watch 7 and 8.
I refuse to.
No way.
You
think Luke should play Sabotage here?
That'd be so good if he confused Luke for Star-Lord.
Oh, he confused like Captain Kirk for Luke Skywalker. Like, it's essentially A New Hope, the first Star Trek movie.
But you finished the game, the Star Wars game.
Oh yeah, I finished that this a couple of days ago.
Good ending,
dude. It's a phenomenal game. I've seen like a lot of takes from the online by writers and stuff being like, the first game was alright, or some people were like, I don't even like Star Wars, but this is like a rare AAA game that's like full of magic. There are bits in it and sequences that I haven't felt since like Uncharted 2 or 3. Just that's like cool. Really fun bits where I'm like, oh fuck, they're doing this. And then like, I'm like, oh shit, this is canon. Like the coolest thing about this is how much care they've taken slotting it in and everything. It feels really.
So the coolest thing about the game is that it's canon, but the coolest thing about something else we're going to talk about tonight,
is that it's not canon.
Vision, is that it's not canon.
Yeah. It's like both can exist.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh man, there's so many fucking losers. Every time Disney tweets about Star Wars Visions, the top reply is always some fuckhead with a blue tick. Saying
that they've paid for,
saying, obviously. Not canon, not gonna watch.
Dude, good. I don't want them watching it,
but I want lots of people watching this so they make more seasons of it because it's
the right people are loving
my favorite
it.
Star Wars.
Yeah,
thing.
It's the best. I still think season one is my favorite out of the two, just because I'm a weird.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. We're gonna get. Trust me, I got some thoughts.
Yeah,
I also ranked every.
Yeah, I think I can rank episode. Them too with you.
Star Wars. Jedi Survivor is what it's
called. Yeah, dude, it's so good. I reckon I've put like 60 hours into it. I did like all the side mission shit before finishing it and stuff. Because I knew like once I finish a game, I like don't really go back.
Dude, I hit 60 hours in Mario plus Rabbids 2 today.
Oh, I forgot about that game.
Me and the kids are finishing it off before Zelda comes out. And we're up to the last.
Well, it is the, Tears of the Kingdom is the sequel to Mario and Rabbids 2 Sparks of Hope.
I can't wait to see what Rabbid Luigi has to say.
I can't wait to see what's that like that gender flipped crazy one? The one that I thought was a guy but it's a girl?
Yeah, I kind of want to. That's the stupid character that.
Yeah, the original character that they could have had Wario, Waluigi, Toad, anybody.
Just a rabbit version of it.
No, like, just they could have had any character.
Yeah.
And they invent some like bootleg.
It's like one syllable word. It's like edge. Edge is the
thing. Yeah. Some bootleg, like, what's that? Kingdom Hearts looking.
Yeah, sure.
Key
sure.
Sword motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, that character sucks. I never use them.
Why would you?
Currently using a trio of Rabbid Mario, Luigi, and Bowser.
Okay. It
fucking rules.
Very cool.
Bowser has this crazy power where he can summon. First you have 3, but then you can up level him up. So it's 5 Mecha Koopas.
Huge.
That chase after enemies and explode.
And plays piano? And,
no. Luckily, they
have. He tries to marry the person.
They haven't added the singing Peaches DLC. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can like send it so it like chases after an enemy. And then you can play as another character on your team. And who's a bit further up the course, pick up the Mecha Koopas and then throw them even further.
Crazy
and, like,
shit.
Just total carnage. It fucking rules.
I've got to play more of that.
Really goated game. Like I was off it for a while. I think the story, actually, you know what? Yeah, I think I know why I like it more now. So I really thought the story in Mario Rabbids 2 was like way too overbearing, way more overwritten, a bit too overwritten compared to the first one.
Like trying to justify why it existed.
Well, instead of there being one robot that narrates everything to you, there's two now. And like the ship and the thing that walks around with you, they both have conversations and like everyone talks in this. It's like a very dialogue heavy game. So there are, you know, you have these really fun battles and then it's like, oh fuck, dialogue time. But you know what? It's way better written than the Mario movie. And yeah. Coming back to it, I was like, oh, no, I like this.
Oh, wait, this makes a lot more sense. They should have
made a Mario Rabbids movie.
Seriously. They should have. What, did they ever make a Rabbids thing? Because when I think Rabbids, I think Minions. It's almost like the Minions.
It's great, yeah. Like Minions.
Rabbids were precursors to Minions.
Absolutely. They even say bois, which is like, that's what.
And they're like French and shit. Like Minions are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always got.
Minions ripped the Rabbids off, for sure.
They did, because I think the first ever Rabbids game was like a Wii launch title.
But they were previously in Rayman, right? Rayman.
I don't think so.
You know, it's a weird franchise,
it's
right?
It's so odd. Like, some really good platforming games, some weird, questionable 3D PS1 era platforming games. Because it's like SNES, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of becomes, now it's like the Rapid franchise.
Well, and then, well, Rayman is going to be in the DLC. So, and that comes out later this year.
And that's his first official appearance since the Wii U.
Since those awesome Legends games.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rayman Legends.
Which are great, great so platformers.
Good. And then and it looks like that Mickey and Minnie game is going to be carrying a torch. Yeah, that looks like a... That was getting pushed pretty hard when I was in Japan, actually. That was just was heartwarming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I mean, they fucking love that. They love Disney.
Yeah.
It's funny how much more, like, when I think of, like, adult Disney fans, I think of, like, super stylish Japanese couple. I don't think of, like, fat Americans on... on like mopeds, which is like the thing you think of, like Floridians. You think of Floridians, like, you know what I mean? Just like with MAGA hats and shit.
Yeah, there was a moment where I'm like, you know, was like when I was fucking crying on the Beauty and the Beast ride going, oh God, I'm a Disney adult.
What a loser. But
I was like, no, it's fine because I'm in Japan and it's different.
Yeah, it's different. I don't know. But yeah, they look like, they actually look like Final Fantasy VII remake characters, like the adult Disney fans in Japan.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. Yeah. I'm just saying like they can dress well.
Oh, dude, when they do the, I don't know, I think it actually has a term where you like wear clothes. You're not wearing a costume, but you're wearing clothes inspired by a character. Yeah.
I do it daily. I'm fucking, bro, I'm doing it right now.
What are you, a tree?
No, I got the Toretto chain.
Oh, okay. You're wearing all green.
I'm Riddler Core. Yeah. Green Goblin, baby. Take your pick.
All your favorite characters are green. Green and purple.
Green and purple. Joker.
Unit 1.
Unit 1.
Yoda.
Baby Yoda. That pirate. Kitty snoring. The Kitty's pirate from...
heavy.
From Mandalorian. That tree dude.
Oh, yeah. He was mad.
May
he rest in peace.
R.I.P. King. No one's... You're forgetting no one dies in Star Wars.
That's true. Especially not a tree. A tree. God, like,
no, they grow straight back.
He threw a seed out the window before he exploded.
He nutted a seed, yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying Rabbids 2. But yeah, very surprised that it's like...
I've got to play again. I did enjoy what I was playing. Then I think like another game came out that just distracted me from it.
It's definitely because I have kids, but I could... And I know I'm absolutely... Like me saying this is so sickening... considering how many consoles I fucking own, I think I could happily only play Switch. Like if it came down to it, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I did for about 6 months.
Yeah.
No, you know, like we said last week that the Xbox is just, I don't know if it was a real headline. Who's like the CEO of Xbox? Jeff something. Jeff Keighley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said like... I
actually do know who it is.
Phil Spencer.
Phil Spencer, yeah.
I think there was a headline this week saying like...
It's like Jeff Keighley being the king of video games.
I think
it
was like, we lost this round, like again.
What?
Yeah, he's just like, we made
That's so insulting to everyone that paid for the tech.
What's his name?
Phil? They don't fucking try.
He's just like, yeah, you know, we didn't release games for 3 years. And he said, yeah, 2 days ago, Xbox can't outsell PlayStation anymore. He's like, yeah, we fucked up this generation. He's like, they've had like AAA games that everyone's buying.
Fucking games out. Like,
well, they're not because they're too busy making like Microsoft Teams or something. Their resources are so insane. Like
the 10 bucks,
their output,
by the way.
$10. The 10 bucks, yeah. Like, you know.
Well, wait, would you not respect the X and the end either? So the 10 by 10?
10 10.
10 by 10.
10 by 10. Yeah, he gave all these funny interviews. Just how he's like, I'm upset with myself about Redfall. He's like, I really let everyone down. And he said, there is no world in which
That's
Starfield...
That's not on him, though.
This is a quote he said. There is no world where Starfield is so good, people are going to sell their PS5 and buy an Xbox. Like a game that they're like championing that's been like 4 years in the... He's like gone
what
full on.
What are you
on.
Doing?
He's gone
That's
full
so
on.
Funny.
And they're making great games won't change our console share. He's like, we didn't deliver and, you know, we've lost this round. It's kind of like, it's insane to hear that.
And it's like the console war shit is always, it's always PlayStation versus Xbox. And I feel like both of them have like, obviously Xbox to a much bigger degree, but PlayStation have under-delivered as well.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know without COVID. Like these things came out 2 months before COVID, essentially.
But like Switch puts out like 20 games a year.
Yeah, 10 know? Are...
Not exactly. And most,
two are okay.
A lot of them are ports.
Two are okay.
Nah, there's like always some good, real, real decent times.
Yeah, there. Yeah, they're yeah. Like, they're like some really good like, I'd say like B-grade games. Yeah, last 2 years. Like yeah, and that's
high,
not a bad
high,
thing.
High Bs is totally. Fine. Yeah,
high
yeah.
Bs is great. Yeah. Whereas these guys, I'm not saying it's better, but they're all about like, here's your AAA, and they just keep fucking them up.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess like for some reason...
Most of the games I play are the retro or indie. So, like,
oh, I know.
I just like playing a game that's like a slight step up. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, you played like 3D. That B game. You played like 10 games with a B in it. And you're like, this is seriously good. I'm like, all right,
even
man.
Even Archie trashed me for that. Yeah. It's like, I feel like you're just playing lots of games that are not good.
Yeah, that's such a good pun. And you're like, yeah, you're right. Gotta go back out to my shed.
Start like reviewing games professionally. I'm like, 2 out of 10, not enough Bs.
Not enough polygonal Bs. Not enough. It was longer than 9 minutes. The credits are the longest part of any game you play because of all the like Patreon supporters. Yeah. But yeah, I am honestly shocked that the PlayStation is kind of bodying the Xbox. And I really like the PlayStation. I think it's like a better machine. But it's like Game Pass is kind of, it's great, but it's also like, it ain't like, you know, I heap shit on eShop. Game Pass ain't too dissimilar. There's no like, here are games that are, like, it's just like, here is every game.
Yeah, yeah.
I find it like, even the curation of it is non-existent.
Why don't you ever check like, here's like what was added recently? And it's yeah. Very, very infrequent that I'm like, oh, cool. Like, yeah.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the method. Maybe it's like, Game Pass is maybe being, I would lump it in more with like streaming, like Disney Plus and Netflix. And we're now learning,
of course, yeah, that's
we're now learning this year that everyone's like I think Disney lost like 4 million subscribers, I read today, because they lost the rights to cricket in India and somewhere else. So they lost right. Like heaps of their
my favorite
Southeast
Disney princess.
Cricket. It's Shane Warne, the best.
Actually, my sisters used to watch some show about a girl whose name was Cricket.
Oh, that's wild.
She had like a, she was like a...
A bug?
Blonde-haired girl who hosted like a show. My kids, my sister was like my sister's favorite, most rented
this sounds
thing
like
from Video
the
Easy.
Fakest show ever. I love cricket, it. No, yeah. I mean I know it's, but this sounds like kids watch some dumb shit, but I guarantee you, girl kids watch the worst shit.
There was like a show when we were growing up called Girls TV.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Not TV allowed to watch it. Girls. Well, wait, are you cold? Do you want me to close that window?
No, man, I'm fine. Okay. Cricket cartoon.
Yeah,
character.
I typed in cricket TV show. What an idiot.
No,
it says
Jiminy Cricket. No, it's like cricket. What was it? Like cricket girl cartoon character?
Was this it there? Was that?
No, no. That's, oh, okay. What wasn't Big City Greens?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Four girls. Four girls. Big City Greens keeps coming up. I don't know what the shit that is.
80s. I look, this is going to be something I have to spend the night just trying to slowly find.
Cricket.
Cricket talking doll from the 80s? No, this is not good. Look, maybe someone can help me find it. fucking hell. 11 forgotten cartoons from the 80s you used to love. And like number one, the Poddington Peas. Number two, the Shoe People. So this is why
wait,
you should never read
shit?
British articles.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Star Wars. And that ties into Disney, like losing all their subscribers.
Yeah, they lost 4 million. And I read today they're tying in Hulu and Disney Plus into one app in America, which I think that's kind of what we have.
Well, that's what they should be doing anyway.
Well, that's what yeah. We have, and I think, with Star.
Which is, it's dumb they even call it Star, though. Like,
I don't know why they call it that.
Yeah. But
Star Wars. Visions.
Star Wars. I mean, midway through watching, because I watched 4 episodes of Mandalorian.
Oh, that's right, because you left... Mid everything, didn't you?
Yeah, and I watched most of that first 4 here with you.
Yep.
And like, you know, I enjoy watching Star Wars
Osmosis.
A lot more when I'm with you, because
I'm like that green guy. I'm the tree. Yeah, and I rub off on you.
Man, so episode 5 where it's all about like Captain Teva.
Yeah,
And,
he's great.
And the pirates loved that episode
when they like attack Navarro, and then he gets the Mandos to go and defend. That's right. And he goes to like, what's his name? The comedy actor who's like working for the New Republic.
Oh yeah, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, amazing. And he's like, you got to do this. And he's like, yeah, no, we got a backlog. So he goes to Mando.
Yeah,
love seeing their like cool rebellion bar and stuff.
Yeah, totally. I really liked that a lot. But then, and I liked him like saying, "Oh, here's why we should go and help this guy out, because he has land that we can claim as Mandalorian."
And then you think that Paz Vizsla is going to be against it, but he's like, "No, let's do it."
Yeah, it was kind of stupid as shit how like all of the like people just like were like living on dirt while the pirates bombed the city. Yeah, and then the Mandalorians.
All the money went into the two droids that carry around grief cargas. He's like, "Sorry, I didn't actually have any extra houses. They're all display homes." My majestic capes take up too much of this town's budget.
But that was a fun episode. And the next
That was just called The Pirates, wasn't it? That was fun.
Then the next episode is the much maligned on the internet episode with Jack Black and Lizzo.
Oh, what's it called again?
The Jack Black and Lizzo show.
Jack Black show, yeah.
And I thought they were fine. I think Lizzo was given some very bad dialogue that I don't think anyone would have done well with.
No.
When she's like, you know, "Oh, but I love him and he does mean well." A lot of it talking about his husband.
I found it so hard to take Jack Black as an ex-imperial remnant.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
But it wasn't like, I guess I was expecting it to be awful and I thought they were fine. I actually thought Christopher Lloyd was the worst actor in that episode.
You know what? He might be going through the old the geezer teaser thing himself, I think.
He was fucking amazing in Nobody.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen that yet.
And he has like action scenes in that, which is crazy. The
best thing he did in that episode of Mando for me was when he like revealed he was a Count Dooku fanboy.
Yeah.
Because he's like an old separatist from like 60 years ago.
In theory, I should have liked that episode, how it's like, you know, like what if the Mandalorian was a detective for an episode? But I fucking hated that episode.
No, look, I fair enough.
I was so bored in it. And I was like, man, I am like, even though like compared to you, my knowledge and love of Star Wars is quite small compared to a normal person. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is watching all 8 episodes of season 3 of Mandalorian? Like, it doesn't surprise me that like Disney is losing subscribers, cricket or no cricket.
Well, it's the cricket cartoon show that's going to make it come back.
I thought it was like the ending was fine. Like,
oh yeah,
she's
got the Darksaber.
But,
The old Harry Potter.
It doesn't
rule.
Feel like that. This like cool, different thing that it used to feel like.
Do you think it's because it's just there's been too much of everything?
I think I think it's very similar to MCU shit, where it was like,
we're still seeing the like tail end of the Chapek stuff. I think where it's just like, just make it, and now
there should just be one Star Wars TV show, and we get 10 episodes a year.
Yeah,
and we miss it, and it comes back,
and we're excited,
and then we talk about it until it comes back again.
Well, it's interesting you said that. I was reading today, Kathleen Kennedy did a big interview with Empire that's gone out about like all the future projects, and I think Lucasfilm were very much like doing damage control before anything happens, being like, "Oh, these things are actually happening," but she's like, "Yeah, we did way too much, way too quick," and I'm watching the Bond movies, how like they take 5 or 6 years and how
they're not very good.
Well, no, she's like the model of them. She's like, I'm looking at them and just being like, okay, we've got to go back to having people like, they've got to be events. They
absolutely
just can't be. Star Wars isn't just a thing that's always there.
I get that Disney want to make back the insane amount of money they spend.
Well, Iger's now pulled everything back. You know how he's like said less of everything on streaming, and we've got to aim for like making movies good again.
Like, I feel like,
but what's funny is he started, it's really funny because he's come in and done this damage control as what people are spinning it as. But before he left, he started Disney Plus and was like, position everything to go to streaming.
Yeah.
And also he wrote about it in his autobiography before he returned to Disney. He said one of his biggest regrets was saying have episode 9 out before he retired. Because, you know, Kathleen Kennedy, everyone wanted another year to develop after Carrie Fisher dying, the firing of Colin Trevorrow, or the like amicable split. He then said, no, you've got to do it. I want this trilogy out by the time I retire.
Fuck.
And he's said like, that's an open regret of his. Like, he's like, I should never have rushed that movie out. But it's funny because now, like, he's being hailed as the guy who's fixing Disney because he's come back. But it's like all these things he actually started and Chapek inherited. The, like, streaming. That was, like, all of his directive. But now he's like, guys, less streaming. And everyone's like, man, good thing Bob Iger's back.
Well, I mean, like, the thing is, like Star Wars Visions, that's perfect. Have, like, fucking 20 of those a year.
No, I do one a year for 20 years.
Those in like 20 episodes a year. You know what I mean?
Like, so good.
Don't, like, I don't understand why they dumped all 9 of them Netflix style at once. I would have loved,
because they're short.
Yeah, but like, give us 3 a week or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, man, I don't know.
Damn, okay, Bob Iger.
Put me in charge of Disney Plus. But I guess, like, if the worst thing streaming can feel like is homework. For the better thing, whether or not...
Which is what MCU has felt like for 4 years.
But then we didn't even get the better thing at the movies. That also just felt like...
Yeah. I think we're seeing the tail end of... This isn't just unique to Disney. It's been this 3-year cycle that is like completely COVID affected as well, where there'll just be this content. Yeah. You watch, there's going to be fewer streaming shows. There's going to be fewer... everything, and it's just going to be of a higher caliber unless something like writers decide to strike again. Oh wait, no. But I think that, which is great, like,
oh, dude, and I honestly hope it has. I think it has going to have really good repercussions.
I think so too. Like, of course it is.
Yeah,
but I think we're seeing the end of like productions that were put into play at the end of 2020. Like, now that we're mid 2023, you know how like these things gestate for ages. I think we're seeing, like, you know, a lot of people are talking about Ghosted, that movie, as being like the last of A-name actors in a shit, like, fake looking movie. Like, as you know, as we've seen with Avatar, all the stuff with Mario Brothers, like, everything has made insane amounts of money. Big pictures are back.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just, I think we're at the tail end of that. And now, you know, I think they're just going to pull the plug on a lot of things that we've got to do streaming. Like, and now, remember at one point this year was like 4 Marvel shows and 5 movies. Now it's like 2 movies and 1 show.
So we only,
so this is already, that's like the effect of,
this last year. Yeah.
But that's the effect of like Bob Iger coming back, that he was like 2 movies this year, 1 series. Like, at one point there was like,
so the only Marvel shit we're getting, we already got
Ant-Man, we're getting the Marvels,
and we got Guardians, and we're getting the Marvels, so, and that's 3.
Secret Invasion
is a TV series. Well, so nothing else. Oh, that's way less.
It's literally a third of the last few years since Disney Plus started.
There's a lot less Moon Knight in our lives.
So funny that you and I watched like 9 hours of that show.
Dude, fuck that show. That for me, that's like the as low as it got. And look, the Star Wars media that I've watched has gotten nowhere near as low as that.
Oh, no.
But there were moments. I mean, obviously, binging 4 episodes of Mandalorian is not the way it's meant to be watched.
No.
Especially when
it's a water cooler.
Yeah. But yeah, they were just like watching. I was just like, what's the fucking point of me watching this?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, it's not for you.
Well, I thought Moff Gideon was just so dull. And like, I hate how typecast he is as a villain.
I mean, he just plays himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, but like he... There was, I don't know, there were a lot. There was a lot I liked. I loved Bo-Katan's overall arc.
Oh, did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished the whole thing.
Oh, you finished it all. I thought you said you only watched.
No. I watched all four. I finished the last half.
Yeah, sure.
But
I really liked the repurposing of the IG for your Grogu. I thought that was cool. The mech suit.
I like that. That Taika Waititi recorded 2 words for this series.
Yeah.
Yes, so and no.
He only got like a small paycheck.
But then I hated that it got destroyed. It was just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I know, as fun as it was to see Praetorian Guards again, it was like...
That was tight.
Yeah.
I really liked the Imperial Remnant shit and just seeing them like, yeah, we're like got a huge ass plan. Like, this is nothing.
But I kind of would have loved to have seen... Imagine if like the main villain was a Praetorian Guard.
Praetorian,
whatever. Fuck you, Star Wars. But imagine, like, I don't know, I feel like...
Criterion Collection God.
But if it was, like, someone that, like, that seeds the eventual Snoke shit, I don't know. Like, it feels, like, connected in parts that I don't care about and then disconnected in parts that I would care about.
Yeah, no, that's all fair.
Yeah.
I really like Din and Grogu's ending in the house.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, that's so good. Very happy with that.
But, like... That's the kind of ending where it's like, and you'll never see them again. But we know that's not going to happen. Like,
no, we're going to see them.
They're making a season 4.
It feels like to me, it's like episodes, seasons 1, 2, and 3 were like one overarching story.
And like, I hate it that I'm saying this because I was so there for our boy Tamura having a comeback. But I feel like Boba Fett was like, that was the biggest problem in terms of like the momentum, kind of like the wind.
Yeah, I mean, the weirdest thing about that show still is that like the Mandalorian had stories in it. And
exactly, yeah.
If they kept that up and were like, oh, it's like one big Star Wars show and people, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And it's just forever this weird decision.
Well, I thought, yeah, if they didn't do a third season of Mandalorian, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, and they just continue that story.
They called it something else. Yeah. Like, yeah, but the fact, and also the fact that like Ahsoka is going to be in the same timeline.
Well, I'm not sure if it is.
Oh, really?
I think it's set like 3 different timelines.
But that it's all building up to this like Filoni movie.
Heir of the Empire.
That just, heir of homework is it has what it feels like to me.
Where for me, like, I'm like, that's like
exactly
drugs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just,
exactly.
Just hook me up now. But I think that's the thing too. Like that we're now getting to a point where, and you know, we spoke about this years ago, like they'll just be like, you pick and choose. You're like, I'll watch this thing of that. Like it's the fear of something getting so big. It used to be this like sacred trilogy that everyone knew every line from. But now it's like, it's too much for one person unless you're like a psycho like me.
Yeah, it's like there's like a One Piece novel that's like a spin-off about
Luffy's, is there really?
Luffy's brother Ace.
There really is?
There really is.
Yeah. And see, it's like One Piece. It's like, yeah, you're like, I can choose to read that or the movies of this. Like,
yeah.
You can kind of pick and choose.
Totally, yeah.
I did you like the Darksaber being destroyed?
No.
You didn't like it?
Well, I mean, like, I think I like the symbol of it being destroyed. I thought the way he just crumbled it in his hand.
With his Iron Man.
Stupid.
Hey, he's
and
a
it
tough
just looks
dude.
It looks like the like this cheap electronic product.
I mean, it is essentially.
Yeah, I don't know.
I liked it being destroyed. I like the message of like that shit's.
But also, like, it was cool seeing a dark black blade, and now we're not going to see that again.
We don't know.
Bring it back. Rest in peace, Black Blade.
Probably going to get
but it was
crystal.
Like Bo-Katan's cool thing. She finally got it, and then it just got.
Nah,
like,
it's the third time she's had it.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
And it kept causing wars.
Okay.
It kept. It's been this like thing that kept causing.
It's yeah, like, man, that hurt like. I feel like they cranked up the dickhead meter on the her old teammates.
Oh yeah, they
so,
hated her.
So you can like the regular Mandalorians who I previously didn't like more, but
the
now
Def Cult
but
dudes.
Now, but now I like them.
But now I like them more.
Yeah.
I like the Did you see especially the Skinny Pete?
What?
Skinny Pete was, you know how they found that old remnants of survivors who were like in that like cool boat thing?
Yes.
Skinny Pete was one of them.
No way. That's crazy. So, okay.
So now we've had Skinny Pete and Gus Fring in that episode.
Another problem that I had, and this is probably just one that I had, but I noticed everyone who was a fan of like Rebels and kept up with Clone Wars in our Hey Fam Discord was kind of really enjoying everything that happened in Mandalorian and being like, oh, you know, Rebels fans, we eaten.
I don't know what that's... There was like one cameo earlier.
And that was like that entirely CGI dude. Like
Zeb. Yeah.
Who stood out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. He's a big purple dude, which means like he'll be in Ahsoka, I guess.
When any new character was introduced, my brain was like, oh, that must be someone from Rebels.
Yeah, no.
And I just felt like...
It was just
like,
him.
Yeah.
There was a character from the books, and I never read the old books. He was just like your classic British dude with a moustache who was talking about Thrawn in that like meeting, the secret meeting.
Whereas Thrawn is your classic British dude with a moustache and he's blue.
Yeah. Well, he was like, he's like Thrawn's right-hand man.
Okay,
so
right.
But did you notice one of them was Hux's dad?
Yes, because he said his name was Hux.
And do you know who's playing him? Dumal Gleeson's brother.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So he's the guy who starts Project Necromancer, which I guess is like maintaining... Palpatine. That's what they say. He's like, how's your Project Necromancer going?
Oh, okay, right.
So just things that are like making the sequels more connected to this.
Yep.
So he takes Hux, I believe this is in a book, and they go to like the unknown regions and start like, as Hux is like a 2-year-old or something, they start the First Order with a bunch of like Imperial remnants, which will probably happen at the end of that Filoni project.
You know what is the funniest loose end in Star Wars?
What?
It's the post-credit scene or the end of Solo with Darth Maul.
Oh, no, that's just a scene in it. That's not even post-credit scene. That's just like straight up in it. But
yeah, right.
That's a loose end for sure. I mean, we know he gets killed in Rebels, but it's like, I think that just confused people. And I don't blame it, because if you don't keep up with the things like you said, you'd be like, oh, is this set before the Phantom Menace? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's so just weird. Gratuitous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope that, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm hoping someone at Disney is like learning all these lessons.
I think they are. I mean, it looks like this year they could have announced 10 other shows which never came into fruition, like, is what I think happened years ago. But no, they announced like 3 film projects that are happening.
And every critic review that I read of Guardians was like, this is good because it doesn't do this, that all the previous MCU movies have done the last few years.
Mm.
Like, you know, setting up new movies and like...
Yeah, it just feels... Yeah. I feel like Star Wars is now like, it's going to be special films again.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't want
I think
Filoni movie. I think just keep it a TV.
I mean, it could be a TV thing. Who knows? Yeah. They haven't really confirmed if it's cinema or not, but they've like, it will culminate in a film.
Yeah.
Fuck. I think, remember that Rangers of the New Republic series that was announced 2 years ago or something and they got canceled?
Okay.
I think a lot of that had folded into this season because that was a plot that was all about Teeva. It would have been Kara, Dune, all those characters,
right,
like solving. And I think stuff like the episode all on Coruscant about Dr. Pershing, I think all of that was scripts for that show. And Teeva doing the investigating, finding that at one point that was going to be a separate show.
Right.
And I think a lot of that rolled into this. And I think I would prefer that than a whole show about that stuff.
The most surprising thing to me is that we've never gotten a Dr. Aphra show.
Yeah, I wonder if it's got to do with rights or like the creator who...
Because that was like, yeah, that was like the first new character that they did with like for new, you know, besides...
I reckon it's coming for sure.
People loved.
I think, I think the Star Wars rule is you wait like 10 years and then you bring someone live action and people freak it. You make people like really want it. Like people...
God, that is probably coming up on 10 years. That's
people years ago were like, couldn't believe themselves when Thrawn was retconned into Rebels.
Right.
Like he was originally a character that was in the books set after Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
became his fan favorite, and then he was retconned into canon, but put like 30 years earlier.
Oh, yeah, I've read the comic book adaptation of Thrawn.
Yeah, it's good. They got the same author, Timothy Zahn, to write all the new ones as well. So he's kind of
related
like,
to Steve.
Yeah, he is Steve Zahn, ex to me. I mean, I think with that the celebration this year, I'm feeling like good about it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I tell you the Damon Lindelof, the rumor was that they wanted Helen Mirren to play Rey in like the old person. Did I tell you about what? So you know how he was like, you know how he left the movie?
Yeah, yeah. What was he meant to do? Which
like, so he was working on the Rey movie.
Right.
But he was apparently the thing is that he wouldn't budge on. He wanted 60-year-old Rey and they wanted, he wanted Helen Mirren to play her.
Oh, man.
And they're like, well, no, like Daisy Ridley's like the age and that way we can get like Finn and like all the characters people want. And he was like, no, it has to be old. And they're like, you know, the word goes, they have like pushed and said, no, we've had like old Jedi masters forever from like Yoda, Obi-Wan, old Luke. They're like, this is cool and different. Like use Daisy while she's here to do this stuff and wants to do it. And he's like, nope, it's either me or that idea. And they're like, okay, we'll get someone else to thank you for your help and we'll take the story. But we're going to set it 15 years after, not 50.
Yeah.
But he wanted like old person, right? Which I'm like, is interesting, but also like, you got to use these I feel that's doing a disservice to like Daisy Ridley and like John Boyega and stuff.
Yeah. But I feel like I understand why you would do it because you want to have that. It always feels like a big passage of time between the trilogies.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a trilogy. It's like a new thing.
Your new thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, old lady.
15 years after Rise of Skywalker, so they'll like put some gray in her hair or something.
Yeah, totally. And
her bitch's age young. But Visions, we haven't even spoken about the main thing.
We got another hour and a bit, buddy.
Damn.
But yeah, I thought Visions was, even the episodes that I didn't like,
yeah,
I just really enjoyed just seeing all these weird new takes on Star Wars properties.
Dude, it's the best thing about Star Wars is, and it taps into the crux of why Star Wars is this cultural behemoth for like almost 50 years.
Yeah.
It's because it is so universal. Like totally. I even find like comic books, like they are very inherently the westernized American ones. Like it's very American. The vigilantism, mm-hmm. the suit, they're like fighting, you know, industry, that stuff to me, while universal in a way, they're still somewhat inherently like American folklore. But I find Star Wars is like, all these short stories basically were about like, how bad fascism is. And that's like extremely universal.
And then we got two episodes about kyber crystals.
And one about racing. But you know what? Like that, it is such a universal thing. And it like watching that first season of Visions where you're like, oh yeah, everyone like, you know, this is very inherently universal. But more so the second season rather.
Yeah, so the first season is all anime. So all feels
all
very
Chinese cartoons.
All very, very Japanese feeling and storytelling. I thought the sequencing of this one, so yeah, season two is different animation studios from all around the world. There's a British studio, an Irish studio, South African,
Spanish,
French, Korean, and Indian.
Yeah.
Studios. The sequencing of the first series was, what's the name of the first one? Is that amazing?
Ronin,
which was like, I just thought like, yeah, okay, sell me on a Japanese.
It's an amazing pitch.
Yeah. And this was like, that it was just such a perfect first episode. It's at least my like second or third favorite of all that first season.
It's brilliant. It's gorgeous too.
But it also is
that
like,
amazing shit. You have that like Sith witch who uses like an umbrella that's a lightsaber.
Yeah. The animation style was perfect. Like it was...
Yeah, the only thing that was colored were like the kyber crystals and saber blades.
Yep.
Everything black and white.
And it just felt like, I don't know, it just felt like a really fun, different, but like immediately you understood the concept.
Totally.
Just off that one episode. Yeah. Whereas the first episode that they give you of Vision Season 2 is called Sith.
Yeah.
And it is a quaint little like short movie about a...
art.
An artist who is painting, and black spots always appear when she paints, and then it becomes clear that she used to be a Sith, and you can't
outrun your... It's like she uses the Force to paint or create art.
And you can't outrun your past, so all these Sith Lords catch up with her to, I guess, like, bring her back to the fold.
They look cool as shit, too.
They did look cool as shit. Like, the animation style in that was, like, I didn't like the character design of the main character. I thought like
everything looked cool, like the robot, everything else around the speeder chase. Cool. Yeah. That was sick. The saber looked cool, the like curved lightsaber.
But so like that eventually became like, oh cool, like I understand like what they're doing with this. And I thought that the final fight was mad.
I really liked that one.
Yeah, me too.
I like the message too. It's like art.
Yeah, but it was like that one was just kind of cool. Like that was cool. And then the next one was the Cartoon Saloon one.
Yes.
Which that was my highest expectations.
Yeah.
That and the Aardman one, they were like my two highest expectations just because I'm very familiar with all of the work that they've done in the past and I'm a massive fan. Cartoon Saloon was like nothing like what I was expecting besides the fact that they had Irish accents.
It's quite dark.
And said arse.
And she's essentially the story of a girl becoming a Sith.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I like that twist.
So I finished it and I was like, huh. But... I haven't stopped thinking about it since I watched it earlier this week, and I think I love it.
Yeah. Those scenes in the cave where like the animation becomes all scratchy.
Oh, the animation. I mean, I knew that was going to be like excellent, and it was. But like,
I didn't love it the first time I saw it.
The story is crazy. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
she like kills a Sith essentially.
Yeah, becomes... but in return for becoming a Sith herself.
Yeah.
So and I picked Angelica Houston's voice straight away.
She's the one talking to her telepathically, isn't she?
And will you meet her at the end? Yeah.
And the ship comes in. That bit is so cool. Because you're kind of like, when that happens, you're like, oh yeah, this is Star Wars. Like, because I was so transfixed by it.
What's the Wes Anderson movie with Angelica Houston? Oh, it's Darjeeling Limited. She's the mother.
Oh, she's the mother. And she's she's at the like, not ashram, but the like cult or whatever.
Yeah, I will forever remember. I think she like reads out a letter or a phone or something, and like, yeah, her voice is...
And you're like, oh, it's Angelica Houston. No, that scene was awesome, the end. And I was like, oh yeah, this is Star Wars. Kind of Andor-ish at the start too in the factory.
Yeah.
I was like, oh cool, this is like real industrial working class, they're leaving. And yeah, just these like... The other cool thing, these aren't canon, but they also could be, because it reminds me... And the best thing about Star Wars is when we're reminded how big the galaxy is, but we're never really shown that because it focuses on such a small sect of characters.
Yeah. One thing that I was not expecting this season to have, was so much stop animation. Obviously, I knew Aardman was going to go hard with it.
And that was all traditional stop for the Aardman one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As was Our Song, right?
Which is the
amazing one? Into the Sky?
I Am the Star. So that's the third episode.
I really like
that one. That one. That was the first one where I was like, immediately like, ah, oh, cool. That's what this Visions is all about.
That was beautiful.
So we're going to
reminded me of the one with the bunny and Ocho.
Yes,
where
me
they
too,
like
yeah,
took
Ocho,
over
yeah, yeah.
the like that industrial plant.
Absolutely. Reminding yeah. me. So that and Al's song reminded me a lot of the bunny one. Mm. Yeah. So we're going to go through all nine of the Visions shorts and rank them.
I've been dying to talk about because I watched these like a month ago almost.
Yeah. If you haven't watched them all yet, they're all on Disney Plus. It's a real good time getting yeah. through it. It was the perfect anecdote for like feeling a bit meh after watching all the Mandalorian in one day. So I was like, oh, I'll just watch one Visions. And then I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. Then I ended up watching half of them.
It's so good, dude.
And then I polished them off today. But and the last one is our song. And like spoilers, that is far and away not only my favorite short from all of Visions so far, but like it's up there with my favorite pieces of Star Wars media.
It's a great final one too.
It's such a great one to end on. I probably would have begun with it just to show everyone. Like I again, it's like the sequencing is so important because there'll be so many like people that aren't deep in the Star Wars fandom, and I feel like you're not gonna get hooked by Sith. Whereas Al's song, you just be like, fuck, straight away. It's such a crazy breath of fresh air. It
looks
it's
amazing.
So warm and like.
It's like HR Puffin stuff in parts. Like, and
gonna,
just like, what is this?
We're going to talk about it more. But it's the end of Hey Fam, but it's the beginning of Pay Fam. Obviously, tonight we're going to be talking a lot about Star Wars Visions. And then we're going to have a little celebration because it is Tears of the Kingdom Eve.
Mm. Oh, I got your birthday present.
Oh, and an
as
actual
well.
Celebration. We're going to celebrate my birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of already hit on those notes when we were talking about Rabbids earlier, but I've been thinking a lot about when Breath of the Wild first came out because it was a launch game for the Switch. I've been like going through like my old photos and like finding my photos of when I first got my Switch and like
baby
Tilly like looking over my shoulder. I want to reminisce about Breath of the Wild and our thoughts, concerns. You know, how are we feeling as we enter Hyrule once again tomorrow. I'm pretty fucking excited.
Yeah, me too.
So come over to patreon.com/heyfam. We do two episodes every week and the second one is paywalled. It's $5 a month to access more than 4 hours a month of content. No other subscription service is giving you.
It's insane.
That kind of cool content.
It's insane. Lawyers have called me up and they've said, you've got to stop doing this.
Yeah.
And I say, absolutely not. I'm like, wait, if I stop doing this, do our listeners stop getting the best value? And they go, yes, Angus, they do.
Well, I mean, last week, our listeners did get the best value.
Everybody
you got a two-hour episode. Everyone got PayFam.
And
I said, hey, you know, if you appreciate it, why don't you sign up to PayFam? No one did.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You have to pay for this week's PayFam.
I caught a lot
and
of
I'm going to make sure it's even better than last week.
I caught a lot of hate.
Oh, yeah. Angus the gun lover. Just
it's
really
a gun, like, you know, curious.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're a gun curious.
I'm gun curious.
GC.
I copped a lot of heats from great people on both sides.
You copped one heat.
No, I mean, like, I got a DMs.
Oh,
stuff
man.
I haven't shared with you.
There's some funny stuff you got from, like,
a lot of people came out
family members and
yeah,
shit.
So like, good. Yeah.
I love how many people, like, from your life listen to Hey Fam.
Yeah, it's really funny. I've never asked them to either.
No, they just know. Anyway, it's come nice. Listen to PayFam, just like all
I
of Angus's family too. Patreon.com/HeyFam, $5 a month is all it costs. And you also get access to our Discord community where there are channels set up for
guns,
Mandalorian, guns,
shooting ranges,
Star Wars Visions, and of course, Tears of the Kingdom.
And target practice.
Come join the HeyFam community at patreon.com.
We
slash
shoot.
HeyFam.
Come shoot the
come
shit.
Come join it.
Or in some instances, shoot the guns.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you over at PayFam.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. on Be My Guest, the podcast. New friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.